Welcome to lecture 8, the first of two about relations. Say a relation is a generalization of functions, and we are also used to it in daily life, that we have if someone is a child to someone, we say it's a relation, a partner, a parent, and so on. And nowadays, in these ages with the databases, this has become an important subject. Let's go to the definition here in section 8.1. And we talk first, we take two sets, A and B, and a so-called binary relation from A to B is a subset of the Cartesian product A cross B. We talked about this Cartesian product in, I think it was lecture 2. And I give an example here. We take A consists of four elements, A, B, C, D. And X, Y, B consists of three elements, X, Y, Z. And I have made a choice there and pick out a subset of with five elements. And so that's a relation. And they include these pairs B, Z, C, Y, C, Z, D, Y, and D, Z. And you see the notation on the middle of page 1 there. B is related to Z since this pair B, Z belongs to the relation, the subset of the Cartesian product. A is not related to X, for instance, because this pair is not included. And if you want to say something about that could be from daily life, maybe X, Y, and Z are adults and A, B, C, D are children, and relation here is to be a child too, or a parent too. So then we could say that X has no children, Y has two children, in C and D, in fact, in common with Z, they are a couple, then I could expect, but Z has another child, maybe from a previous marriage or so, and that's B, the child B. So, yeah, let's be a little bit more mathematical. Next example, bottom part of page 1. Often we take A and B as the same set. And then we say it's a relation on, in this case, Z, the integers. And I have one relation, I call it R1. And X is related to Y if Y is equal to 2X. That these are the dots there in, and this is what we call a function. The special case here is that for each X there is exactly one Y. For general relations there can be one too many. Next example here is the second relation where I say that Y is greater than 2x. Well, all pairs that should be included in this relation lies in this shaded region. And for one specific x, there are many y's included there. Everyone above this line y equal to 2x. So when you think of relations you are used to already are smaller or equal to, subset of, and such. Yeah, these are two common ones. I turn page, and we say then that top of page two, a relation on a set A is a relation from A to A. So the Cartesian product is the set with itself. And we can ask questions like this in next example, a combinatorial question. How many relations are there on a set, like the one we had in this example previously? Set A, B, C, D, Cartesian product with Y, X, Y, Z. Well, we know how many elements there are in this Cartesian product. That's 4 times 3, 12. And so then it comes to each, we go over each element, then we say include or not include. That's like tossing a coin, head or tail. So we have two possibilities for each one. So this is 2 to the power of 12. 40, 96 different relations. 4,096 different relations. Now comes four words that will be important in the following that characterize a relation. They are properties, can be properties of relations. First, R is reflexive if A comma A belongs to the relation for every A belonging to capital A. Now we are talking about a relation on A. So it's a subset of A, Cartesian product of A with itself. Almost all the time from now on, it's this we are considering. So if you take the relation to have the same mother and father, okay, you are related to yourself, we must say. And you're also related to your sisters and brothers. A relation, second word here, R is symmetric if B comma A belongs to the relation whenever A comma B belongs to the relation for all A comma B. All A and B belonging to the set. Here I could think of, for instance, the relation to vote on the same political party. If person A votes on the Social Democrats and B also do it, then A is related to B and B is related to A. Third word here is anti-symmetric. What's that? If A comma B belongs to the relation and B comma A belongs to the relation, then we can draw the conclusion that A must be equal to B. This should hold for all A and B belonging to the set. Then we say we have an anti-symmetric relation. Think of greater or equal to on the integers. If A greater or equal to B and B greater or equal to A, then we can be sure that A, that must be the same integer. So that's anti-symmetric. last word to learn here is transitive. If whenever A comma B belongs to the relation and B comma C belongs to the relation, then A comma C belongs to the relation. A comma B belongs to relation and B comma C belongs to the relation, then we can be sure that then also A comma C must belong to the relation if it is a transitive relation. We will take an example rather soon here and learn more about these things. I take an example from the book here, 817, and there are some relations there. I take three of them, and you see them in the left column, middle on page 3. First relation is that x is related to y if and only if the product of them is greater or equal to 1. Let's have a look on that first. Is it reflexive? No. Remember, this is a relation on Z. Can you say why it's not reflexive? That means that X squared could be greater or equal to 1. And isn't that fulfilled all the time? No, we have this zero. The zero element here destroys the reflexivity. And then you can go over symmetric. Yes, it is this one. And anti-symmetric. No, cannot be both symmetric and anti-symmetric. Often the most tricky case is the transitivity to check that. And I have made three comments here in each case and try to argument why it turns out to be these relations turn out to be transitive, all three of them. Yeah, we can the middle relation there, then x is related to y if and only if they are congruent modulus 7. That means a difference between the two numbers must be divisible by 7. Now it's really reflexive because here you can divide 0 with 7. It's symmetric also, yes, then it's not anti-symmetric. And it is transitive. Shall we check that argument? I have this comment, a second comment. If A is related to B, well, then A minus B is an integer times 7. B related to C, then B minus C is integer times 7. So what about A minus C? Well, I add these two equations there, A minus B plus B minus C. And what do I get? I get A minus C, but on the other hand, I get a multiple of 7, K plus L times 7. So then I have proven that if A is related to B and B related to C, then A is related to C, the transitivity property. And that holds for this particular relation to be congruent modulus 7. And in this case, it was a relation. We are talking about relations on the integers. Yeah. bottom on page 3, I have some comments here about just, I mean, relations are sets. So we can combine relations with unions, intersections, and differences, and so on. I don't think we need that so much for the moment. I turn page and come to composite relation. We can and here we have different sets A, B, and C to begin with. So R is a subset of A cross B, the Cartesian product of A and B, and S is a subset of B cross C. So the composite relation S dot R, this is the notation, consists of all ordered pairs A comma C, where A little a belongs to set A and little c belongs to set C, but for which there exists an element B, little b belonging to set B, such that A comma B belongs to R and B comma C belongs to S. Yeah, I have an example soon. We get little life to this. Maybe it's too many letters here to be, but I think it will be clear when we take an example. So as with functions, we can form composite functions, and we can do the same with relations. And often A, B, and C are it will be the same set. So here I have R dot R, that's R squared, that's a relation, a new relation. And I can go on and take R cubed, etc. Middle of page 4, take the parent relation. R related to B if A is a parent of B. And B is, if now B is related to C, if B is a parent to C. So what do you say then if A comma C belongs to R squared? When will this happen? A comma C belongs to R squared whenever there is a B belonging to R, such that A comma B belongs to R and B comma C belongs to R. Yes, that must be that A is a grandparent of C. Then A comma C belongs to R square. So that gives a meaning to R square for us. And last on page 4 comes a theorem. First theorem here that sounds deep and difficult, but it's not so difficult in fact. The relation R on a set A is transitive if and only if all these composite sets R n, they are subsets of R. You stay inside R whenever you take the composite sets relations like this. You stay within R. That's the, it turned out to be the property for transitivity. I think it's very useful to go through this proof. You see there is an equivalence to prove, and you do it of as usual in two steps, going from the right to left and left to right. And I have done it in two steps there. We could take, say maybe something of left to right. Then you use mathematical induction. Assume now that you have done it for some k, so rk is a subset of r for some k, and then we should show that rk plus 1 is a subset of r. And what can we use? We can use the transitivity property, and we can use the induction assumption that, as I show there in the figure, RK lies in this inside R. And then we take a pair inside of RK plus 1, and you should always think about what do I want to show. Yeah, I want to show that this pair A comma B, I can use these properties to show that it really belongs to R, A comma B. Maybe you should look at some examples first, like your next page, and then maybe come back to this proof. Have some light here. It was too dark. Let's turn page to page 5. And now maybe I should have taken this example earlier, but I have created something here. We have a set with 3 elements. We call them 1, 2, 3. And I will use it later on here. And maybe we could think of it as 3 cities. And relation here is if there is a train connection between the cities. So I have taken a relation there, it has 5 elements, 1, 2 is there, is included. That means there is a train from 1 to 2, and there is a train going from 1 to 3. 2, what should that be? I think we could say that is some subway system there, it's a go from 2 to inside 2. Underground in city 2. There is a connection from 2 to 3 also, and then one back from 3 to 1. So I could think of here, we could maybe, you should try to draw a picture of this with some arrows. There is I think we could think of one train going around in a circuit, 1, 2, 3, 1. And then we have a shuttle between 1 and 3 going going between these two cities. And then we have this subway there from 2 to 2. So what's, then I should make the composite here, R squared. What's that if you think of trains? Well, then we should have a connection, a relation between all cities where you can go with just one stop. Just one stop. And so we can take 1, 2 first. Can we go from 2 to 2? Yes, we can. So 1, 2 should be included. That means I go to from 1 to 2, and then I take the subway, and so on. And maybe you can figure out these things. Check the other ones. I think it's a very good way of thinking of it. The elements in R2 is where you can, they are where you can go with just one stop. And you see, for instance, that 3-1 was included in R, but if we go from 3-1, then we can't come to, then we have to leave 1. So 3-1 is not included in R square. I have shown there in the figures the elements included in R and R squared. So now comes the question, is this a transitive relation? Think of it. You could use the theorem we had on previous page, but you could maybe, if you look at the relation R, we see that 1, 3, and 3, 1 are included. So if you look at these ones, which more ones should be there then? Come back to this example soon where we will represent relations, but something short about 8.2, section 8.2. There are something about n-ary relations, because then we have n sets, A1, A2, A3, and up to An. And a subset of this Cartesian product, A1, A2, A3, up to An, is called an n-ary relation. We have concentrated on binary relations, but here there are n sets in the Cartesian product. These one sets are called domains, and n is the so-called degree. And you can think of a modern society like train schedules and handling this databases and so on. We have train numbers, we have departure times, we have tracks, we have destinations, and this dynamic, things happen, accidents and so on, and they have to, some items there must be shifted. Now we really come into the applications of this stuff, but in Sweden we have some, we say, subject called informatics, that it lies close to business economy, and I think there you will find good courses about these things. I'm not really competent, and we have not time to go into the applications in this course. We have to stick to the mathematics. In 8.2, if you're interested, there is something about the language for databases. It's called SQL, for instance. I turn to 8.3, and now we should represent relations, give some life, more life to them, not just listing the pairs included as we have done so far. And now it's binary relations from now on. And I stick to my example with these five elements, you know, these cities with trains. So then I turn page. And there are two ways of representing these relations. One is this number scheme called matrix, where 0-1 matrix, where you put in zeros or ones. Maybe you are not so familiar with matrices, but there is a section about this in the book 3-8, and we will not use it much here. Just in fact here when using this, talking about this 0-1 matrices. You see there is a number scheme, and an element Mij is 1 if y is related to j, and 0 if it's not. So first we take as an element Mij is the element at the ith row and jth column. That was difficult to say. Let's take an example here. Element 2-3 in MR up on top there on page 6. Second row, third column, that's a 1. And that means that 2 is related to 3. Yes, there was a railway between train going from city 2 to city 3. So we put in a 1 there. And the nice thing with this matrix is that it's easy to check reflexivity, anti-symmetry, and symmetry, and so on. So can you say, looking at this matrix now, is this relation R, is it reflexive, anti-symmetric, and symmetric? It turns out that it's neither of it. It's not reflexive, it's not anti-symmetric, and it's not symmetric. The most complicated maybe here to a little bit more difficult to check transitivity. How will this be done? Well, the matrix for R squared is the so-called Boolean product. We had it earlier in a lecture, where I take the matrix MR, multiply it with itself in that way that it, as soon as it appears a 1 in the product, there will be a 1. So I have done the product here, the Boolean product, and it turns out that the result is 1s everywhere except at 3-1. And there was no way to go from 3-1 with 1 stop. That was so there is a 0 there, and I give an example how I take the element 2-3 in MR squared, and then I take multiply every element in the second row with a corresponding element in third column, and then I get 1-0 plus 1-1, and then we have one there, so we finish. It will be 1, and that means that there is a connection from city 2-3 with 1 stop. And how will that be done? Well, you use first your subway. 2-2, and then you take the link between 2 and 3. And we can see then that if we compare now the matrices for R squared and R, there are some new elements there in R squared that were not there in R. So it's not transitive. For instance, we had 1, 3 and 3, 1. To get it transitive, then we must include 1, 1 and 3, 3. For instance, but they were not included in the relation. Finally here, the another way of representing a relation. The 0, 1 matrices are maybe more for computers, maybe humans. We often do these directed graphs, or d-graphs for short. And I have then the 3 vertices, 1, 2, 3, quite big this time, and later on they will be small. And then I have these arrows if there is illustrating their relations. An arrow for 1 from 1 to 2, since there were 1, 2 was included in the relation. And we have one loop also, since 2, 2 was included. From 2, 2, 2. Okay, we continue with relations in the next lecture. Bye.